Amen. You know what? If people want to complicate a lot of things about God and the Bible, they want to mystify the will of God and make it some kind of unattainable thing. The will of God is really not that complicated, just simply what God wants. When you exercise your will, what are you doing? You're doing what you want to do. So the will of God is what God wants. So we want to have church the way God wants it. We want to live our lives the way God wants us to live. We want to have the attitude that God wants us to have. Amen. We want to love the things that God wants us to love and hate the things God wants us to hate. Amen. I'm not trying to oversimplify things, but you understand that too many people overcomplicate things. And I just want to make God happy.
Amen, amen, amen.
I just really want to please the Lord and do His will. Genesis 35, verse 16. They journeyed from Bethel. There was but a little way to come to Ephrath, and Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, "Fear not, thou shalt have this son also." And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave. That is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. And Israel journeyed and spread his tent beyond the tower of Eder. Amen. Again, verse 19, Rachel died and was buried. Verse 20, Jacob set a pillar upon her grave. Verse 21, and Israel journeyed. Amen. I want to preach tonight what I feel very strongly upon my heart. Again, not because it's me, but because it's the will of God.
All right.
Amen. I have no axes to grind. I have no stones to throw. I have no enemies here tonight. I'm on your side. Amen. But you hear this evangelist tonight, there's some strongholds that God wants to tear down tonight. There's a work of the Spirit to tear down some strongholds in this church and in your heart and in your mind. Amen. I've not come to find fault. I've just come to speak as I feel led of the Holy Ghost. We've agreed we want it the way God wants it. And if God wants to make it better, that's what we want. I said, if God says there's a better way, what do you say? Let's get after it. Amen, amen. Clap your hands again and praise the Lord together. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, lift up your voice by faith. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Lord bless you. Praise the Lord. I don't know enough about this city and this church to be any kind of expert on your reputation or anything along that line. But I do know the kind of reputation that God wants this church to have in this city. Amen. This is, as far as God is concerned, a church that He intends to see revival. Amen. God wants New Life Tabernacle to be a revival church, a worshiping church. A church that has faith. A church where people know that if I've got a need, I know where to go. Amen. A church that people declare, I don't know what it is, I don't know what they have, but what I do know is that every time I go to that church, something happens in my soul. Amen. Now this is an apostolic church. This is a one God, Jesus name church. This is a Book of Acts church. This is a holiness church. A separated from the world church. And thank God for all of that and more that we have going for us. Amen. But God still has more for us than what we have. Does anybody believe what I'm preaching right now? Amen. Amen. God wants to declare some things by His Spirit tonight. And it is our responsibility as the people of God to receive and respond to the Word of God. Amen. I trust tonight that our desire for real apostolic revival is spurring all of us beyond a simple recognition of God's voice. Amen. I appreciate somebody recognizing that God is speaking. But you know good and well that it does no good to just recognize it if you don't do anything about it. Amen. We dealt with memorial moments this morning. It meant what those moments were was a recognition of the voice of God. But then an act of obedience and submission and surrender to what the voice of God had to say. Amen. Amen. God is always trying to make us better. We're not serving a God that's hard to please. His commandments are not grievous. Bible speaks of our reasonable service. Amen. God never asks too much, no matter what He asks. Amen. Some people want to get a burr under their saddle with God, thinking that no matter what I do, it's never good enough. No, God says it can always be better. It's not that He's never satisfied. It's that nobody wants revival more than God wants it. I said nobody has more invested in end time apostolic revival than the Savior of the world. Amen. God has much more positive things to say about those that hear and do than He does about those that only hear. The profit of preaching is only experienced by the mixing with faith the word that is preached. It pleased God, 1 Corinthians 1, by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Amen. Now just let me slow down here just for about 2 minutes. Amen. An accurate rendition of the King James there would be to save them that have faith. All right. He chose. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that have faith. Faith, the Bible says, comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Without the Bible, I can't have faith. Without God's Word, I can't have faith. That's how faith comes. And faith, the Bible says, without works is dead because it's alone. James says, you say you have faith. He said, I'm going to show you my faith. Faith is not just something you say that you have. Faith is something that you prove you have. He chose to save them that have faith. How does that happen? If you've got faith, brother and sister, when the word of God comes, you're going to do something about it. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that has faith and acts in obedience because of his faith to the word of God. This is not something I just agree with and nod my head about. This is something I mix my faith with. This is something I expend energy about. This is something that I even burn some calories with. Amen. Let me hasten along here. I feel like most of us are on the same page tonight. We realize in the biblical narrative that God remembered Rachel and God hearkened to her and God opened Rachel's womb. I'm preaching tonight burying barrenness. Burying barrenness. You say, well, you read in your scripture tonight, Brother Waldrop, about Rachel being buried. And we know that Rachel was barren, but Genesis 30, you just read it, that God remembered her and hearkened to her and opened her womb. Man, I don't want to spiritualize everything, but man, my heart is on fire tonight with this. Man, we realize also that there is a condition far more serious than physical barrenness. It seems that although she began to be able to give birth to children, there was always something wrong with Rachel's attitude. Even when she was facilitating revival. Even when she was helping grow the kingdom. He meant she always had a chip on her shoulder. There are some characteristics revealed about Rachel that do more than hinder revival, but prevent the church from experiencing what the church was designed by God to experience. Amen. I want to hit a few of these moments in chronological order in Rachel's life. Before we get into Rachel, I want you to understand something. In Genesis 32, God made a man named Jacob a promise. Somebody say, God promised Jacob. And he said, thy name shall. Somebody shout, shall. He did not announce that it is. He said, it's going to be. Your name shall be called no more Jacob. Jacob is in your present, but Israel is in your future. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men and hast prevailed. This is not God saying that your prevailing and your power is in your future. You've got the authority and you've got the power now. It's because of your present power and position that I can make you a promise. It meant shall be Israel. Genesis 33, the next chapter, the Bible reads in verse 1 that Jacob lifted up his eyes. The next chapter in Genesis 34, he's still Jacob. In Genesis 35, verse 1, God said unto Jacob, verse 2, Jacob said to his household. Verse 4, they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand. Genesis 35 and 6, Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan. Verse 9, God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Paddan Aram. Verse 10, God said unto him, the same God that said, you shall be Israel. In Genesis 32, declares in Genesis 35 and 10, thy name is Jacob. You're still Jacob. But you shall be Israel. Sir, I just want you to understand, I haven't forgotten my promise. Amen. This is not just a few days that have gone by. Amen. This is probably 5 to 7 years that have come and gone. God says to Jacob, I made you a promise 7 years ago that Jacob would no longer be your name, but Israel would be your name. And I've come by 7 years after the fact to let you know that you're still Jacob. I know you're still Jacob. You know you're still Jacob. Everybody knows you're still Jacob. But I want you to know, amen, that you're still gonna be Israel. It meant what spurs my spirit tonight is the biblical truth that there is a covenant connected with Israel. I said there's a covenant connected with Israel that's not connected with Jacob. Now, when he was running for his life and he had that first Bethel experience, God reminded him, I'm the God of Isaac, and I am the God of Abraham. And what I have promised to them, I am promising to you. But God knew, amen, when that was going down, that Genesis 32 would happen. And he knew that Genesis 35 would happen. Verse 11 of Genesis 35, God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and company of nations shall be of thee. And kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac to thee, I will. It's not yours yet, but I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you and to thy seed after thee. I will give the land. Verse 14, that memorial moment was memorialized because Jacob set up the pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering on it and poured oil on it, and Jacob called the name of the place when God spake with him, Bethel, the house of God. Do you understand? It meant there are futuristic promises involved. He said, in essence, if you could allow me a little poetic license here, amen, Israel, amen, shall be your name. The land will be your possession. Amen, kings will come forth from your loins. Everything as far as Jacob is concerned and as far as God is concerned with Jacob, the good stuff is in the future. All And the Bible said that Rachel died. Now, she died in childbirth. But she died. She died in the fulfillment of her own utterance. Because when the firstborn, as far as she was concerned, came about, Joseph, she was making a statement. Because Joseph literally means God shall add. She said, his name is Joseph. For she said, the Lord shall add to me another son. She, now just let me be my oaky self. She said, there's more where this come from. I'm not done yet. I'm not satisfied with a little bit. I'm thankful for what God gives to me, but I'm not satisfied yet. Man, I'm having this one reaching for another one. And sure enough, it came to pass. And while she's having this baby, her soul is in departing, and she dies. Somebody shout, Rachel died. Amen. Let me help us tonight by the help of the Holy Ghost. There is some strongholds tonight that I believe God wants to manifest. God wants to shine the light on some struggles around here. Don't get nervous. Please, dear God, don't get defensive. Don't think that I think I'm a know-it-all and I can fix everything. I'm just trying to be a messenger of God. Amen. If God loves me enough to point out some areas in my life where I can do better, I'm embracing it. Because I want better. I said I want better. Now let me help you here tonight. Again, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying or read anything into what I'm saying that I'm not saying. If you like it the way it is, don't worry. If you like you the way you are, you don't have to worry about changing. Because God will not impose His will above yours. He will state His will. He will manifest His will. He will declare His will. But He will never impose His will. Now, but if you think that you can dig your heels in and say, I've got my church the way I want it, you've got another thing coming. Because, excuse me, this ain't your church. And if you don't want better, and the church wants better, God will all of a sudden give you somewhere else to go to church. Now again, I'm not running anybody off. I'm just helping you understand. You might be in charge of you, but you're not in charge of the church. You might can decide what you will or won't do, but you can't answer for everybody in the church. I believe there's a reason what I'm preaching here right now. Because in the heart of New Life Tabernacle, Augusta, Kansas, there's something beating about the heart of God that says, I'm thankful for what I've got. I'm thankful for what I've done. I'm thankful for where I've been. I'm thankful for what you're doing. But God, if it can be better, I want it. And whatever you gotta do to me, to my family, whatever your will is, not my will, but thine be done. Let's lift our hands and give God praise. There's a witness of the Holy Ghost that you just felt. That's God telling you he hears your heart. That was the Spirit of God saying amen to what this preacher just said. He's not just up there blowing smoke. He's not just up there saying words. Hallelujah, but he's speaking my words tonight. And I have heard the heart of New Life Tabernacle. I have heard a cry for more. I have heard a cry for revival. Come on, we might as well get used to it. It's the will of God for us to be a revival church. I don't know what all that means to you. Amen, but revival in our prayer, revival in our outreach, revival in our attitude, revival in our worship, revival in the pulpit, revival in the pew, revival in the foyer, revival in Sunday school. Let's let the Holy Ghost just settle some things here right now. Yeah, man, if you have any discernment at all, you know the Holy Ghost is right in the middle of what's been going on here right now. Jesus' name. Oh, my Lord. Hear me tonight. It was Rachel, the Bible declares, that coveted Leah's mandrakes. Now most of you know the story, how that Leah was fruitful and Rachel was barren. Leah was able to have children. Rachel was not. And Leah had some children and then stopped producing children. And her eldest son, Reuben, went out to the field, and there was this plant or herb or flower or something called a mandrake that helped facilitate a woman's fruitfulness. And Rachel saw Reuben bringing Mama Leah some mandrakes. And she says, ain't happening. Because if I can't have a baby, she can't have any more. Genesis 30, the Bible said, Rachel envied Leah and gave her handmaid to bear children. She said, since I can't, I'll give my servant to have, to my husband to have children in my stead.
That's what she said.
The Living Bible reads that when Bilhah's second son, Naphtali, was born, Rachel named him Naphtali, which means wrestling, for she said, I am in a fierce contest with my sister and I am winning. But I want to preach tonight, as long as there's a Rachel, there'll always be a Jacob. But Rachel died and was buried, and Jacob set up a pillar on her grave. But the man that set up the pillar by a man named Jacob. But your Bible says that when that same man turned away from the grave, it was Israel that journeyed. God help me preach it right tonight. I want to declare that you cannot have covenant and competition. I said you can't be competitive with your brothers and sisters and be the church that God wants you to be. It's not about pastor's pet. It's not about who's doing the best. It's not about who's the most fruitful. I tell you what it's about. I'm just glad to be in the family. I'm just glad to be available. Anything that I can do to help revival happen, count me in. Sign me up. If you have a competitive spirit, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I love you, and God loves you, but competition's got to die. There's too many promises. There's too many prophecies. There's too much desire for God on this church to let a stinking spirit of competition abort our revival. I love you tonight, but if you're motivated to hinder someone else because you're hindered, you got bad problems. If your agenda is to keep somebody else from being a soul winner because you're not one yourself, you need to pray through. Amen. Amen. I want to believe that this is preventative maintenance, but I know what I'm feeling. There is a stronghold of competition in this church. Amen. You're motivated by pride and arrogance. You want to get your name called. You want pastor to pat you on the back and say, oh, you're doing such a good job. We appreciate all these people that you're bringing. Amen. You try to teach Bible studies, and so you'll be recognized. You're more concerned about being recognized than you are souls being saved. And that stronghold is coming down in Jesus' name. Rachel, amen, you got a pretty face, but you have an ugly spirit. You're beautiful to look at, but you're horrible to live with. Amen, I'm digging a grave tonight. I said I've got my chisel out, and I'm engraving a name on a grave marker. Barrenness is about to be buried around here. Now, you can sit down, stand up, do what you want to do. I'm just going to try to preach. Let me preach tonight that where there's competition, there'll also be compromise. And you can't have covenant and compromise. Remember, after they were leaving the land of Laban, it was Rachel that brought along the images. What she was saying by her actions is, you can take me out of the land, but you can't take the land out of me. Oh yeah, I'll go where my husband goes, but I'm bringing my past along with me. You know what? There's just too many things from back yonder that are too important for me to turn loose of. There's just some stuff I used to do that, you know what? It's not just that I used to, I still do. And bless your heart, I am Princess Rachel. Now, if you don't think she was Princess Rachel, just read your Bible. Because big bad dad Laban showed up and he said, somebody took my images. And Jacob said, we didn't take your images. And Laban said, somebody took my images. And Jacob said, look for your images, and whoever took them is going to die. Not knowing that Princess Rachel had the images. But she's up in her tent, all prim and proper, sitting upon her camel's furniture. And Daddy walks in to look for his images, and she bat her eyelashes. She says, oh, Daddy, you'll have to excuse me. It's my time. And I can't arise. And Daddy just said, okay, sweetheart, I'm sorry for disturbing you. Went right on his way. And in the camel's furniture, hidden among the stuff, was images. False images. She was full of idolatry. Her husband was a one God Hebrew, but she was hanging on to some idols. But I'm going to declare it tonight. You can't have covenant and compromise. Now you hear me. You hear me. Sit down. I want everybody to look at me when I'm saying this. Not because it's me. It's just, please hear me. If this man preaches that it's wrong, and you hang on to it, you're an idolater. This is the man of God. God, the Bible said, amen, will give you pastors after his heart. You don't choose your man of God. God gives you your man of God. And you say, well, that's just how Brother Cowan feels about it. No, that's how God feels about it. And Jacob said, we don't want any images around here. I'm going to tell you what will happen if you hang on to your ungodly idolatry. I love you. But God won't let you hinder this church because of your idolatry. Amen. God has covenant. Amen. For this man. God has covenant for this family. God has covenant for this church. Some of you are trying to tighten it up on me right now. Amen. But it's not yours to tighten tonight. I feel a holy boldness coming down upon me tonight. Even stop hanging on to your own lifestyle. Stop hanging on to what you used to do and how you used to live and how you used to act. Heaven, the Holy Ghost does not sanctify ungodly music when you listen to it now. You can't have Holy Ghost and Hollywood. Choose you this day who you will serve. Strongholds coming down. I said the stronghold of compromise is coming down in Augusta. Well, this is how it did in my old church. Newsflash, honey, this ain't your old church. This is your new one. Somebody lift up your hands and open your heart. Lift your voice to God right now. Amen. There is a supernatural transaction at play here right now. Amen. God wants every one of you saved. God wants to use everyone on the sound of my voice to facilitate revival. Amen. But if you refuse to stop being competitive, and if you refuse to stop compromising, there will come a point in time when God will just move you out of the way. He will not allow compromise and competition to hinder his covenant. The word of God has been declared. Israel shall be thy name. But there can be no Israel and Rachel. But there will be an Israel. So that means there won't be a Rachel. So you need to decide tonight, are you going to be an Israel or a Rachel? Now, I'm not having fun right now. I know I'm obeying God, and I feel at home in the Holy Ghost. But I'm not up here stroking my ego. Amen. I'm not up here just to hear my voice tonight. As soon as I feel the Holy Ghost lift off of me, I'm done. Amen. But as long as the Holy Ghost is anointing me, amen, I'm declaring the will of God in Augusta, Kansas. Amen. I'm working for God tonight. I'm declaring old-fashioned apostolic holiness. One God, Jesus' name. Devil chasing sin. Erasing revival. A revival of repentance. A revival of sikotola bahasha. A revival of submission. A revival of obedience to God. I'm begging somebody right now in Jesus' name, because I love you and I feel compelled by the Spirit to say it. Be careful what you choose when you have to choose between covenant and compromise. Between covenant and competition, be careful. Because you can't have both. You can't have both. You can't have Rachel and revival. Let's pray again right now. In Jesus' name. Thank you for your anointing. Ikala boho shakatala bakayandai. Sandoroma kia talabo koshatala bakia talabahaya. Hele mora moshantala makia talabakatala bahaya. Amen. When you hear what the Holy Ghost just told me to tell you, I'm off my notes right now, but you can't have covenant and confusion. Amen. If your home, amen, doesn't align with this church, home needs to change. Because God is not the author of confusion. If your precious children hear words like this, I know what Pastor Cowan said, but you can't have covenant and confusion. It's always been the will of God for the tent to match the tabernacle. It's always been the will of God for the parent to agree with the priest. That's just how it is. Amen. Every tent in the camp was faced toward the tabernacle. We're submitted to the will of God. We're submitted. We're in alignment. We're looking to the high priest. We're looking to the glory. We're looking to the covenant. Read your Bible. Those on the edge of the camp, the mixed multitude, and those on the periphery were always the first casualties of warfare. Because they were content just to kind of hang around but not really be a part. Somebody needs to hear this preacher tonight. I've never preached what I'm preaching right now, but I'm in the Holy Ghost. I adjure thee in the name of Jesus Christ to repent of confusion. You're not disagreeing with Samuel. You're disagreeing with God. Samuel was wringing his hands and lamenting, and amen. And the Lord said, Samuel, amen, don't you feel rejected? They have not rejected you. They've rejected me because you're my plan. You're the will of God for them. And you can get a bow under your saddle and you can rise up in rebellion. But I'm telling you, you're not rising up against Mark Cowan. You're rising up against Jesus Christ. You're to follow him as he follows Christ. You're not to chart your own course and do your own thing and go your own way and say, I know as much about it as he. Oh no. Oh no! You're going to walk away from covenant. You're going to walk away from revival. Lift up your hands and give God glory right now. Brother Waldrop preached revival. That's exactly what I'm preaching. Amen. Strongholds coming down is revival. Attitude adjustments is revival. Submission to the will of God is revival. Deliverance from competition and compromise and confusion is revival. Last statement that Rachel made was in the naming of her secondborn son. And as she's dying, she names him Benoni, which means son of my sorrow. What she's saying is, if I'd have known it meant this, I wouldn't have reached for more. What she's saying is, I didn't think it was going to cost me this much. This revival business is way too expensive. Son of my sorrow, this is too inconvenient for me. But I want to preach tonight, you can't have covenant and convenience. Your flesh can't be happy all the time and you have revival. I thought, sure, you wouldn't push back as much on that as you did about compromise and competition. But what is it about this flesh that doesn't want to be told no? But you can't always tell yourself yes and say yes to God too. You're going to have to take up your cross and follow me. He that will save his life will lose it. And he that will lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall find it. It doesn't compute with our human mind and our human reasoning and our human logic. Amen. We gain by losing. It doesn't make sense to my humanity. But the flesh and the spirit are meant war against one another. And I love you, but there's a stronghold of convenience in this church that says as long as I can just do what I've always done, I'm good to go. But don't ask for any more. I'm telling you, birth call, amen, means sacrifice. You don't have to break a sweat, mama. You don't have to get uncomfortable. It's not about you, sweetheart. I said it's not your body. Not just physically, but spiritually. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit. With your lifestyle, with your attitude. That's not capital S Holy Ghost spirit. That's lowercase human spirit. Glorify God in your passion. Glorify God in your attitude. Glorify God in your lifestyle. Because I don't belong to me. I belong to God. I'm not in charge. I know a majority of the citizens of Kansas made a statement on a ballot recently that says it's a woman's right to choose. And you're right. It is her right to choose whether or not to go to bed with that joker or not. But it's not your right to choose the results of said relationship. Sweetheart, you made your choice. I don't want to be out of the way, but you know what I'm saying. That's when the choice is made. You made a choice to be a mama when you started acting like one. Because that's what mamas do. Mamas get pregnant. But we're living in a society that wants to enjoy the thrill of relationship without the cost of parenthood. I don't want to burp a baby. I don't want to change any diapers. I don't want to mix formula. It's Benoni. This revival business is way too inconvenient. I don't get near enough attention anymore. Oh yeah, I'm an only child. That means, amen, she's the daughter my parents never had. And when holidays rolled around, it didn't matter that I was flesh and blood. I mean, she got as much or more than I got. And that's wonderful. Until grandbaby showed up. Now all of a sudden we're not Joey and Stacy, we're Jonathan's parents. Now I'm not getting what I used to get at Christmas because the budget got rearranged. Benoni. This is inconvenient. I wasn't planning on this. I liked getting all the attention. But you know, the more people we get in here, the less attention I get. I used to get all the pastor's attention. But now, my Lord, he's got all these new converts he's taking care of. He's got all these Bible studies that he's teaching. We've got all these backsliders that are coming back home. We've got all these sinners in the altar. So I'm just going to sit back here and cross my arms and twiddle my thumbs and get a sour expression on my face and feel sorry for myself. Pray through. I love you, but get over yourself. It's not Benoni, it's Benjamin, son of the right hand. Rachel, you can make a statement if you want to, but you're on your way to eternity. I've got the rest of my life in front of me, and I'm looking square, even in the eyes of a covenant, and it's not too much trouble, it's not too much hassle, it's not inconvenient. As a prince, Jacob. As a prince. You've got power with God. What he's saying is, I'm ready, God. Benjamin is a declaration. I'm ready to be Israel. Because compromise is dying. And convenience is dying. And confusion is dying. Covenant hindrances are dying. And I hate to shake up. I've already got a grave dug. I've already got a marker chiseled. All I gotta do, amen, is watch her draw her last breath, wrap her in grave clothes, lay her in the ground, amen, put dirt on top of her, and turn my back on convenience, turn my back on compromise, turn my back on confusion, turn my back on competition, and Israel journeys. Come on, how about it, Augusta? Amen. I say it's time for Israel to journey. I say it's time to bury barrenness. Beloved, we are gathered here today to honor the memory of convenience. We've gone as far as we can go in this earthly journey with compromise, confusion, and competition. What do we say? Earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Amen. From dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. The Spirit is already in the hands of the Lord. Somebody get you a shovel. I said, somebody make a Holy Ghost declaration. I'm tired of making excuses for Rachel's pretty face. I'm tired of going through the motions and doing without the covenant. I'm claiming my promise. I said I'm claiming my promise. I'm claiming my promise. I'm claiming my promise. I'm claiming my covenant.
Claiming my promise, he's promised to be. Standing my crown, is what I believe. The devil can't stop that blessing, so I'm away. Claiming my promise today.
I'm claiming 25,
he's promised to me.
I'm claiming
25, he's what I believe. The devil can't stop that blessing, so I'm away. Claiming my promise today.
Get out of here.
Claiming my promise.
He's
promised to me. Standing my crown.
Hit the road.
What I believe.
And don't come back.
The devil can't stop a blessing, so I'm away. Claiming my promise today.
Said I'm claiming my promise. He's promised to me.
Standing my crown. He's what I believe. The devil can't stop a blessing, so I'm away. Claiming my promise today.
Aren't you a brother and sister you can agree with? Amen. Let's go somewhere in the Holy Ghost. The devil can't stop. It's all the way.
Claiming my promise today.
Somebody talk in tongues.
Claiming my promise.
He's
promised to be. Standing my crown.
Somebody pray.
He's what I believe.
The
devil can't stop a blessing, so I'm away.
The death of compromise.
Claiming my promise today.
The death of confusion.
Claim it. Claim your promise
the
today. Claim it. Your blessings on the way.
Shall be.
Claim it.
Shall be.
Claim your promise today.
Revival.
Claim
shall
my
be.
Promise today.
Harvest shall be.
Claiming my promise.
Anointing.
Promise
shall be.
Standing my crown.
Shall
is
be.
What I believe.
Deliverance.
The devil
shall
can't
be.
Stop the blessings on the way. Claiming my promise today. I'm claiming my promise. He's promised to be. Standing my crown is what I believe. The devil can't stop a blessing, so I'm away. Claiming my promise today. Claim it. Claim your promise today. Claim it. Your blessings on the way. Claim it. Claim your promise today. Claiming my promise today. Claim it. Claim your promise today. Claim it. Your blessings on the way. Claim it. Claim your promise today. Claiming my promise today.
Listen to me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Listen to me, everybody. The evidence of mixing the word with faith is not how many calories you burn in this altar service. The evidence is what you do when you get home tonight. The evidence is what you do with your station pre-selections before you leave the church parking lot tonight. The evidence is what you do with the magazine rack before you go to bed tonight. The evidence is what you listen to on your lunch break tomorrow. Because we're not resuscitating covenant hindrances. Too long already. I'm not just going to shout about it. There's nothing wrong with shouting about it. Nothing wrong about shouting about claiming your promises. But if all you do is shout about it and you don't change your lifestyle, that's a problem. It's not about me. You say about me what you want to, but I've preached about love and a visitation, and I'm a wonderful evangelist, but now you're not so sure about it. Because I've done mess with somebody's sacred cow. I've done put my hands on somebody's images. I've done preached against Hollywood and idolatry. I was so bold to make a statement that if that man says it's wrong and you keep doing it, you're not right with God. Which means you can't be saved. It doesn't mean you just can't be used in the church. It means you can't be saved. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And if you're not obeying, you're rebelling. I don't know how you was raised, but I was raised that when the authority said, do this, if I didn't want to suffer consequences, I did this, whatever this was. I didn't say, you know what, I just don't agree with that. I just don't like how you're running this house. I have a feeling that if I'd been stupid enough to say something like that, my mom and dad might have said, okay. If you don't like how we do it, go do it yourself. But you're not sleeping under this roof. You're not laying on those sheets or eating these groceries. If you're not going to be in obedience, you're going to have to find somewhere else to call home. So, throw me on the bus. I've been there before. I've got tracks to prove it, but God just keeps letting me survive. Being a speed bump. I love you. You know that, don't you? But it's not about me. It's about God loving you enough to say, hey, you. Wake up. Turn loose of compromise, competition, confusion, and convenience. And obey the word of God. And stop hindering the harvest. Because God will run out of patience shortly. It is His body, His bride, and His church. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down. I'm just going to tell somebody what I feel right now. We're about to reach critical mass here in Augusta. I said we're about to reach the temple point where there's enough prayers going up against the strongholds. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises, and the prisoners heard them, and the foundations of the prison were shaken, and everyone's bands were loosed. Somebody give God a shout of praise.
Shout of praise. This is what we've come to do. Tear down strongholds, break the chains, bind the devil in Jesus' name. Tonight we've got a right to shake the foundations with praise. Glory, hallelujah. This is what we've come to do. Tear down strongholds, break the chains, bind the devil in Jesus' name. Tonight we've got a right to shake the foundations with praise. Glory, hallelujah. This is what we